Empower Radio presents The Miracle of Healing with Lisa Campion. Meet healers, learn different modalities, and hear empowering stories of people on their healing journey. The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Lisa Campion.
Hey there, I'm Lisa Campion, and this is The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio, where we come together to discuss all kinds of healing, and not something the world needs a lot of right now more than ever, I think. So if you're new to my show, welcome. If you've been journeying with us for a while, welcome back. And we got a great program for you today to really talk about essential healing. And what would it be like for you if you could get to the root cause of your issues and heal the emotional scars of your past in a way that enabled you to develop really profound and deep inner peace and spiritual awareness? But what do we do when those roots are buried so deep we don't remember them? We can't remember sometimes our, you know, early childhood or even traumatic events that happened to us can block the flow of our memory. Thankfully, there's a way we can access that stuff, even when it's like lodged in our body or lodged in our subconscious. I'm super happy to have with us today author and healer Paul Arendt. And he is going to share with us the secret of profound inner healing using and how he's used hypnotherapy and regression-based practices to backtrack people through trauma so that we can dig up those scars and really bring them into the light of consciousness and heal them. So welcome today, Paul. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So like we were talking a little bit before we were rolling about, you know, some of your spiritual awakenings. Sounds like you've had quite a few. Can you talk a little bit about what happened for you? That's sort of the two big ones that you experienced that set you on this path.
When I was in my 20s, I became really interested in different kinds of energy healing and heard about or experienced a kind of healing called Jo-Ray, which means purify the spirit. And I was so interested in it. I felt a real connection with it. And it originated in Japan, and I ended up going to Japan to study it. First, I had to learn the language, which was really a challenge, but interesting experience.
Changed. I lived there too. I lived there too. In the 90s.
So many similarities. Yeah. And so I saw a lot of healing happen from doing that kind of energy work. Came back to the US and practiced it for quite a while. But I think calling myself a healer and doing healing for other people, I began to see the limitation and even sometimes the danger of that, in that I think in time I realized a better model is to really recognize that within each individual is the ability to heal themselves, and that within each individual is great wisdom. And so I really shifted how I practiced to a more client-centered approach, that when you walk through my door, I know, trust, and believe that you have the answers within you. I have a lot of skills and tools that I can use to help you find those answers and to resource your own healing. And that's really what's in Essential Healing, the book, is after 40 years of practicing therapy and healing work, are a lot of the techniques and processes that I use with other people, I put them in practices in the book that people can then use for themselves. I'm a really big fan of self-healing. So that was monumental in the early part of my life to go to Japan, study this healing, and then come back and do it. And then the other big transformational experience that's similar to yours, and as you said, you were already on your path with healing, but being struck by lightning and having a near-death experience really changed my perspective. Things that were theories or concepts or things I believed became things I really knew. So we can believe in reincarnation or believe that there's a soul or believe that there's consciousness after death. But to see yourself dead in the street after being struck by lightning gives you a very different perspective. It isn't a concept or a theory, but it's a knowing. And then the experiences of being out of body, being free from limiting mental mind, and making that journey into spirit to experience unconditional love and experience oneness with all things is so profoundly transformational that I came back from that experience trying to figure out a way to help other people experience the same thing without the trauma of 150 million volts of electricity in their body or whatever other kind of trauma might send them in that direction. So I think that's the two biggies.
That's incredible. And we were talking before we were rolling the show today that I've been struck by lately two, three times, not at the level, you know, that you had, which really seemed like it, you know, really hurt you, sort of a miracle. You didn't die at that moment. And
well, at that moment, I think I did, but yeah, I came back.
You came back. That's incredible. And, you know, I loved how you talk in your book, Essential Healing, that it was sort of walked around with that trauma, like lodged in your body and went on with things, but we're still carrying around the burden of that trauma until you receive some of the same kind of regression, hypnotic regression therapy that you do, that you actually do on other people too. And that, that was an extraordinary story that really, I think, allowed you to integrate that and kind of make the spiritual connections once you came out of the trauma. Is that how you would put it?
I think that's right. I carried, and I think this is true for many that have car accident, have physical damage, emotional, physical trauma, is that it becomes lodged. It becomes stuck in the body. It becomes stuck in the psyche. And there are a lot of modalities to work with that, and I've developed some myself. But I think one of the missing pieces for many is that it isn't just in the body or in the psyche. We carry it in our soul, in our spiritual being. And we carry it through lifetimes. And so you can talk to the mind, and you can release things from the body, which is a good start. I think it's absolutely essential, and it's part of essential healing. But it goes even back further. I think that in general with regression therapies, which is what I specialize in, there are three primary things that we're looking for. That's stored emotions that some experience then brings to the surface and we react in a certain way. The soul stores emotions too. Things that happen in the past haven't happened in this life, but we still can carry it, and it influences how we live in this world, and beliefs. So we all form beliefs when we have different experiences. Certainly they're in childhood, but they're also in utero. They're in the womb. Is mom happy about being pregnant? How's the relationship with dad? Is she worried about money? Does she have a there's not enough kind of belief system that then we absorb there before we're born? Right? And the soul brings in these beliefs from previous lives as well. And then the other third really big one that trips us up, I think, is survival strategy. It's what we learn to do to stay safe and to try to get love and acceptance. And I think we all want love and acceptance, but often how we look to get that in a world that's not necessarily unconditionally loving can really cause trouble too. I know early on my strategy was, I'll be good, I'll be responsible, I'll even take care of those around me. A 9-year-old kid shouldn't be taking care of other people.
Right.
But you bring that into your adult life and you keep repeating it, it really causes trouble.
Right. Absolutely. that was beautifully put. And I've done, you know, a lot of healing work in my own life too. And I worked with a student of Michael Newton and did some regression sessions with him, and I found that some of the most powerful healing that I've done, that I've received for myself, in understanding sort of that soul level that you're talking about, you know, where we have kind of, I don't know if it's so like unhealed trauma, but at the level of the soul that we then pull forward, you call it baggage in your book, right? That we sort of drag it forward into our current life, and you know, maybe recreate opportunities or create opportunities to continue healing that in our current life.
Yeah, our soul carries baggage, beliefs, emotions, survival strategies from the past, and we inherit them. We inherit them from our friends, from our families, and our ancestors. And that's an essential part of healing too, I think, is that the belief systems, the energies that we inherit and carry often very unconsciously is something that's essential to recognize, identify, and then return. And I don't encourage people, if they carry, let's say, guilt or shame from their ancestral lineage, from their parents or their parents' parents or the ones before them, I don't encourage them just to release that guilt or shame into the universe. But I encourage them through a process, and it's in the book, to return that guilt and shame back to its origins, to return it back to the parents who inherited it from their parents and theirs from theirs. And in as you do that process of return, it's not to return it meanly or to try to hurt them in any way. But when you return it to them and they can give it back to who they got it from, you're achieving healing for a whole family lineage rather than just the one person you're working with.
Right. That's amazing stuff. So powerful. And I think we heal it for our up generation, the ancestors that have been with us already, and also for the down generation, like any, our children, grandchildren, like when we that flow of healing goes both ways through the timeline that way. It's really
Absolutely.
Powerful. Yeah.
If we can put an end to it, if we can finish that pattern here, then we don't pass it on. Even if we choose to be a different parent, for instance, energetically, we still may carry that belief or that guilt, that anger, that shame. And it can be easily absorbed by our children, by our siblings, by our children, and then their children. So you're healing. That's right. I think you're really accurate. It's healing in both directions. Even
right.
More.
So cool. So you have, I love it that you wrote a book that's full of practices you can do yourself. And that your work is, you know, honoring sort of the sovereignty of all of us as humans to self-heal. I love that. So tell us a little bit about some of those practices. Like what can we do to begin that work of healing?
Yeah. So I think that one of the things I recognized with many of the clients that came in to see me, because initially I was working with people that were in chronic pain, physical pain. Mm-hmm. And you know, often they go together, physical and emotional pain. And they had spent a lot of time, sometimes years, thinking about their situation, thinking about their problem, trying to understand, research, figure out why this was and how to resolve it. Usually by the time they came to me, they'd finished with the medical profession and had done a number of other things and then were in my office. So I think that one of the very first steps is to work with someone to get out of their thinking mind, to get out of that analytical mind that's worked hard. If it could figure it out, it would have done that already. Mm. And I think that your mind usually would like you to believe that all you are is it, and you're much more than your mind. But when we're stuck on our minds, and you know, it's easy to get stuck there, because as you move out of thinking mind and move into your body, where you hold feelings and emotions, pain, as you experience that pain, it's a natural response to withdraw from it, to pull away from it. And where do you go? You go back to your mind, to the safety of the mind that can look at it or ignore it or try to anesthetize it, or maybe even partly out of your body just to not feel it. And so I think one of the biggest realizations was mind can't solve this, because if it could, it already would have.
Right.
It's better to get out of mind and begin that journey to go deeper within, to go into the heart, really, is the first big step, to go into the heart. Now, as you attempt to enter the heart, you'll find one of two things happens, maybe, and often both, is that because most of us carry emotional wounds, some part of us says, you know, I can't really risk being hurt again. And we build a wall, we build a kind of protection over our heart so that we don't get wounded again. And so I know for myself, when I attempted to move out of thinking mind and into my inner world to get to my inner wisdom, I ran into this wall. And it was difficult for me to access the feelings. It was difficult for me to access my inner wisdom. And so finding a way to open the heart, finding a way through that block or that protection is, well, essential to reconnecting with inner wisdom. I generally help someone achieve that by having them thank that protection, because you don't want to crack it open. You want to thank it because it's there for a good reason, right? It served a good purpose. And when in the thanking, acknowledging of it, it will often soften. And then you have access to the feelings, both joy and painful things. But then, yeah, then you work with different processes to express those feelings. I think that feelings aren't really a problem. It's the unexpressed feelings that are a problem. Right. It's when you hold on to them, suppress them, then they cause illness, then they come blasting out sometimes unexpectedly. So working with some of those feelings is really important. And once you work through some of that, then you can begin to access some of the deeper parts of yourself. Inner child is one that comes. Protector is another part that's there to keep us safe. Another one that will often pop up as you go deeper in is the inner critic.
Yes.
The one that says, oh, you could have done that better, or you never do that right. You have one of those?
Of course. And I love doing archetype work with my students. My initial training as a youngster out of college was with the psychosynthesis people, and, you know, really sort of spearheaded the way for parts work. And I've studied internal family systems too. So I love that you do that. So once we get, it's sort of like you're talking about kind of melting the layers of resistance. We have to kind of attend to the needs of the mind. Once we realize and sort of wrestle with our minds a little and choose to drop into our heart, we have to do a little repair work there, you know? Mm-hmm. And so we can access these deeper feelings. When we access the deeper feelings, we hit the parts, you know, that the subpersonalities or parts, as you know, we call them, that hold different experiences and different parts of our self. So, and they probably need some consciousness and some light and some, you know, attending to and some healing as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's often those parts that are carrying out the different survival strategies that came from limited resources when we were younger and don't understand or realize that there are different options now. And that old strategy isn't working very well. It's actually starting to cause some of the very same things it came into being to prevent.
Beautiful. And then from there, we can work through the baggage, right? And drop into a little bit deeper of the levels of the soul that you have after that.
Yeah. I think a couple of really important parts before we get to the baggage, not that they necessarily always go in the specific order. It's not really a linear process, but you'll run into the inner child. Right. And inner child, there's really two aspects of it. There's the wounded child, you know, that will often present first, that needs some love, attention, healing, protection. But once you accomplish some of that and start to reparent that aspect of the child that's been hurt, then the one I call the wonder child, the one that's full of playfulness, spontaneity, and creativity, that one will come forward. And that wonder child is much closer to the authentic self, to the what I call soul essence, right? And so I know for me, in reconnecting with that part of myself, because I've been so responsible and serious since I was 9, brought so much more joy and playfulness back to me and to the courses I was running, to my family. It was, you know, it was really a big healing transformation for me. And then, yes, the baggage, the stuff that we carry, the not enoughness, that I'm not good enough, the guilt, the shame that comes from way back there. To be free of that is greatly uplifting. And along with that process, there are often occasions in our life and even in past lives where we have either had our power taken away or we've given it away because it was safer to do that. And so we've lost some of our soul energy, some of our own power. And nobody else needs that. You know, it belongs to us. And so reclaiming that power, reclaiming those bits and pieces of ourself that have been taken away or given away, helps make us whole again, helps us be empowered once again. And then, yeah, the next step, I love it when someone comes in feeling guilt or shame or not good enough or low self-esteem and is really struggling, to get them through those layers to reconnect with that part of themselves that's full of power and full of wisdom. I call it the wise one within. It can be the wise woman, the wise man. It's not really gender, but the inner wisdom that's far beyond our intellect. It's so empowering. It's so transformational. I love when I can help someone achieve that.
It's beautiful work. And I think that a lot of people are familiar with the past life connection with aggression work, Brian Weiss and Michael Newton, and Dolores Cannon and all those wonderful people that have published books on that, those topics already, have kind of shown us the connection that we can have, you know, with pain and past life stuff, pain and unhealed childhood trauma or pain and past life stuff. And have you found that similar connection in the regression work you've done?
Yeah, absolutely. So after my lightning strike, as I said, I was trying to figure out how to help someone have that same kind of spiritual transformation without the trauma. And past life regression felt close to it, but there was still something missing. And in 2001, I met Michael Newton. Mm. And he was doing his first life between life regression training.
Yeah,
I assisted at that training. Ooh. And I saw, you know, I saw him do his one and only live demonstration. It's such a personal and soul revealing wow. process. It's not usually done, but on the course, he did a live demonstration. And I said, you know, that man found the way. He really found a path into it. And we became close friends. I helped him establish the Michael Newton Institute, and I'm the director of education for it now.
That's great. I worked with somebody who trained with him for my past life and life between life regressions, mm-hmm. and it was 100% life-changing experience for me.
Yeah.
It's one of the most profound healings I've experienced for myself. So, wow. So, Paul, how can people, all this incredible work that you're doing, people want to know more, how can they find you? Let's talk about your website for a minute.
Okay. Yeah, I just want to say that there are many similarities between people's near-death experiences and people's life between life regression experiences. I think they really prove out each other, right?
Yeah.
It's so much of the same kind of process that people experience.
Totally.
It's a beautiful experience if someone can have that. My website is my website is paularand.com. Thanks for the reminder. Email is paul@paularand.com. I have a YouTube channel with a lot of free stuff on it that are workshops I've done. Some of the meditations that are in the book are there. Some of the courses I've done are there. You said in the very beginning, this the secret of healing, right? I don't want this to be a secret. I want everyone to know. I want this book to be in as many hands as possible. I want as many people as possible to know that you have the capacity to heal yourself. And I don't want the practices I've used to be a secret. I really want to put them in the hands of people. And that's the intention of the book, is to make these techniques available to as many people as possible, and maybe people that couldn't afford therapy. I mean, I'm happy to do sessions for people, and I love doing workshops. I can't wait till we can do some in person again.
Right.
Although I have to say, working online, I see people in Europe. I just saw someone in Australia the other day. I gave a talk to a group in China. You know, my book sold out in Malaysia and China. Can you believe that?
That's great. Congratulations.
That's the power of Zoom or online.
That's fantastic. Work. Good for you. Yeah, I know. The same thing happened to me with COVID too. It's really sort of shifted my work from local to, you know, to global. A more global. Yeah, exactly. And that's great. So I'm super happy to hear that that's going on for you. And I really encourage, this is like such powerful healing. And somehow you've managed to get all the layers and all the different like doorways that we need to walk through in order to get to heal throughout at the levels, kind of that to where we get to the point where we can do the soul healing. So thank you so much for writing the book. It's a beautiful book. I can't wait to get my hands on a copy of it myself. And thanks for being here with us on the show today.
And thanks for getting the word out through what you do.
Yeah, I'm happy to. Your work is super important, and like everyone should run right out and get your books and check out your meditations and tap some of those resources on your website too. It's great. So thank you so much for being with us today, Paul.
Thank you very much.
And thank all of you guys who are tuning in too. We're super happy to have you here with us today. If you want to find out where I am, you can check me out at my website, lisacampion.com. I hope you stop by and visit with me too. So thanks for being here, where we are saving the planet one person at a time, right here on Empower Radio.